The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin to my right. A new friend over behind us over here. Watching his backpack for him as he heads about this the D around here in Las Vegas. Drew Denson going to join us a little bit later in the program, as is Paul Carr, as is Paul Sporer. So we have a great lineup for you guys today. But, Kelly, we got to get into the NBA from last night. We see an excellent, excellent game between the Pacers and the Knicks. The Knicks pull it out 121 to 117 when it was all said and done. Another Herculean performance from Brunson, a no-show by Halliburton, and we go into a game in which the Pacers were leading for a good portion of the game. The Knicks down the line were able to close it out. I look at this as, I know that there was a lot of people who look at this and say, like, man, this Pacers team, they blew it. I don't necessarily really look at it that way as much as I do that the Knicks are a very, very good team that kept it close enough to where in the NBA is the, let me say it, a game of runs. You know, it's a NBA, it's a game of runs. They go on a run, they do what they need to do, and then close it out. They win the fourth quarter 39-30, and by winning the fourth quarter 39-30, they end up with a four-point win.
Yeah, it was I'm with you. I don't think it was. I mean, for the Pacers, there's definitely some good things to take away from that game. I mean, if you're anybody like me who was holding, you know, heavy Knicks series tickets, those were a sweaty last few minutes. That's for sure. You knew the Pacers were going to have the advantage. There was few places they had an advantage in this series, in my opinion. But the bench was one of them, and the bench kind of kept them in this game throughout. T.J. McConnell, huge night, 18 points, 9 for 16.
I was shocked he was able to do in last night what he was able to do in that first. I didn't think that T.J. McConnell was going to be able to do that again in this series. And listen, I understand small sample size, it's one game, but in 22 minutes, like you said, he was a factor in this thing.
Yeah. I mean, so much so to a point where, like, it's you felt like there needed to be like adjustments for TJ McConnell, which is, you know, something to be said. But I mean, end of day, great. I mean, you're talking about solid three-point shooting from the Knicks. I mean, Jalen Brunson, how much more can you say? I mean, this guy just continues to put this team on his back offensively, getting it done. Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, those three having huge games again. They closed it out and, you know, did make their shots when they needed to down the stretch, and, you know, some questionable officiating thrown in there.
Yeah, well, to further emphasize here on Brunson, Hart, and DiVincenzo, Ian Begley is a beat writer for the Knicks. He put this out that Brunson, Hart, and DiVincenzo scored or assisted on 109 of the Knicks' 121 points in the game one win. Brunson, of course, went for 43 on 26 shots. That joins Michael Jordan, Jerry West, and Bernard King as the only players to score 40-plus in four straight playoff games. Hart had 13-8 with three steals in this one as well, Kelly. So, again, a massive production from those three guys where they scored or assisted on 109 of the 121 scored by the Knicks.
Yeah, they're huge. And this is, I mean, I think it's one of the big questions with the Knicks going forward, right, is this sustainable? Because I think these guys have been playing like this for the bulk of the playoffs so far, and when they do, this team looks very, very dangerous to anybody. I don't care who they're playing. But, you know, can the three of those guys keep up that level of play is going to be a big time question. And I think as far as last night, we haven't really talked to you and I much about this series. I was loaded up on some Knicks series bets, but game one I was scared because of coming off of that series against the 76ers. It felt like the opportunity for Indiana to possibly go in and steal game one and make this interesting. Them coming up short just at the end, it's going to be interesting to see how this affects the Pacers going forward. Like you said, Halliburton.
That's the thing for me, right? It was like if the Pacers were going to have any shot in this series, because I was on the, I think the Knicks are a better team. I thought that the Knicks were going to win this game, win this series, et cetera. But the X factor was, okay, hey, listen, if Halliburton can somehow channel Halliburton from the beginning of the season, then maybe there's a chance in this Pacers, which, by the way, I got, like, super excited when they traded for Pascal Siakam. I have a Pacers Eastern Conference ticket in the account, which I know is dead. I mean, it's dead. Because this was based off the fact that I was super excited about the way Halliburton was playing, you know, at the beginning of the year. He gets injured, comes back, has not looked the same at all. By the way, only 2 of 6. He shot only 6 times in this game. 2 of 6, 6 points to go along with 3 turnovers. It's if he no-shows, they have no shot in this series.
So, and it's a trickle-down effect, right? Yeah. Because you can, but when you have a defensive expert like OG Anunoby, right, that you can deploy so many different ways, when you know that Tyrese Halliburton is going to be a non-factor and you can just stick him on Siakam and it really makes the rest of your matchups a little bit simpler, that's a problem, yeah.
Yeah, it just, to me, I gave the out in the handicap, basically, of the out being if Halliburton can somehow at least, maybe he was not going to be Halliburton from getting at the season, but maybe Halliburton could figure out a way to be 85% of what he was, 90% of what he was, because he's been about 60% of what he was, and he was not even that last night. And Kelly, the fact that it was only a 4-point victory for the Knicks, as you said, does say something about these role players for the Pacers, but how sustainable is that? You have a 50% shooting night from Siakam, you have a 50% shooting night from Turner, you got an above 50% shooting night out of Toppin, Jackson, McConnell, all these guys, I mean, they played about as well as they could play with the no-show from Halliburton, and it still wasn't good enough.
Yeah, the Turner part's huge, because I think he was kind of the X factor for me on the Indiana side coming in, and like he had a big game, right? Yeah. And can he, if he can keep doing this, I can keep Pacers in it, but how, you know, should you expect that? I don't know. I think regardless as the series goes on, I mean, you'd love it to be over in four if we're both involved in the Knicks. Yeah. You'd love it to be over in four, but I think the Knicks, even as we saw last series, the more this goes on, the stronger they're just going to get, in my opinion. So it can be interesting to see, but that was, man, I think if you were on the Pacers, you needed that one last night.
Yeah, I think that one did slip away from you, certainly. On the road, you talk about Miles Turner. There was a bit of controversy towards the end of this one, of course, officiating much bigger in the next game that we're going to talk about, because there was all kinds of people losing their mind about that one. But Miles Turner did have something to say about the end of that game.
I just, you know, just in my experience in this league, I think it's the best when the players decide the outcome of the game. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, it happened. You know, we reviewed it. They still called it a legal, you know, legal screen, but it's the playoffs, man. Like, I feel like DiVincenzo did a good job of selling it. And, you know, for the most part, you can't leave the game to be decided by the refs. So we have to take accountability as well. So, of course, it's right at the game. I'm a little fresh with my emotions about it, but we know at the end of the day that, you know, we can't get to that position. So I think the last 2-minute report, we're all looking forward to that coming out.
Great response, in my opinion, by him. He let it be known that he didn't necessarily like the way that it went down, but also said, hey, look, you know, we reviewed it. It held up. It is what it is. We put ourselves in the situation to have it be like that anyway. There were several leads in which they had erased throughout the course of the game. I don't know what you thought about it. By the letter of the law, was it a moving screen?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you see that call get called very often in that situation? You don't. Did DiVincenzo sell it amazingly? Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on there. It was unfortunate that the timing of it, but again, letter of the law, yes, called correctly. You just don't see it called right there.
Yeah, that's you just said it. I think you just put it perfectly. You're going to hear this a lot today. I've heard it a lot today already. But last 2-minute report's going to come out. That's going to stand as a call. The bigger one was the kicked ball that was not a kicked ball. When
non-reviewable.
That is not reviewable. And the Pacers were about to force a turnover and go out in transition and get an easy bucket on the other end, probably. Ends up being a Knicks 3, so that's a 5-point swing, essentially, that you get in that game. I mean, again, those of us with Knicks tickets maybe didn't mind some of these calls so much, but that one was way more brutal, actually, than that screen.
It's a whole different conversation, too. It's like, why can you not review? I mean, why can you not review that? It's something you should be able to look and say, did the person kick the ball or not? So we go to Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Wolves get it done big time, 106-80. You look at this, Jokic, 5 of 13, 16 points. He did have 16 boards and 8 assists, and sometimes that, you know, Jokic doesn't always have to show up on the scoreboard to have a huge effect on a game. He did have 16 boards and 8 assists, like I said. However, Kelly, you have a guy that it's more what stands out to me more than anything is just the efficiency or lack thereof with Jokic so far, because this is a guy that shot 58% in the regular season. He is now 42% combined in the 2 games against the Wolves here. And like I said, it's not necessarily so much that he didn't contribute. 16 boards and 8 assists. We see games all the time with Jokic where he scores about 20, but has a massive rebounding game, massive assist game. but he's also really efficient when he does all that. The efficiency is not there for Jokic so far in this. Jamal Murray, 3 of 18, 0 for 4 from downtown, 8 points for him. That's the box score right there of a losing effort for this team. And not only was it a losing effort, it was a blowout.
Yeah, this was stunning to me. This was a spot. I was on the Nuggets yesterday. It felt like if you had any shred of respect for that team of going forward and what their thoughts were this postseason, that was a spot. I thought you had to play last night. Timberwolves, to their credit, no Rudy Gobert. That comes out a little bit later in the afternoon. He's going to miss the game due to the birth of his child. He's not even there, and it's no problem. Yeah. No problem for the Wolves. I mean, it says a little bit about both teams, but I mean, the Nuggets dysfunction is evident right now, and it's just lack of players, lack of health. Jamal Murray's not there. And obviously that's the story of the game. That's what me and you were texting about last night. I mean, Murray's not healthy. This Denver Nuggets team.
It's obviously frustrating him.
Malone, Malone losing is cool. Jamal Murray losing is cool. I've never seen, Jamal Murray's not that guy. Yeah.
Threw a heat pad onto the court. Before that, had tried to throw another. He threw a towel that he tried to throw onto the court.
I didn't see the towel part till this morning.
Yeah.
That makes this even more damning to me, Matt. The fact that he tried it twice.
Yeah. So here's I know people are going to debate this. And listen, he very well may not get suspended. But I can tell you this. If he doesn't, it's special treatment. Because anybody else does that, if it's not the playoff, whatever, they're getting suspended for that.
I know they're just it doesn't happen, but if you're going to suspend guys for coming onto the court, throwing stuff into the crowd, someone throwing something on the court should easily be suspended.
Yeah, we'll continue to talk about this game last night. Where would they go from here, talking about the Nuggets when we come back here on a numbers game?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you've been sitting around waiting to get a VSiN Pro subscription going, man, I bet you they're going to give me a better offer at some point down the line. You were right. Good job on holding out, because for $199, we're actually going to give you 14 months instead of 12. Yes, 2 months absolutely free. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code ANG. And when you do, you are going to get 14 months instead of 12 for $199. That is less than 50 cents a day. So go in. VSiN Pro subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe. Promo code ANG. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin in. I am sitting in for Gil Alexander, who I don't know. Maybe it is on... is on vacation this week doing who knows what. You know what I'm going to say? He's in Antigua. That's what I'm going with. I'm just going to go with Antigua.
He's over in California.
No, let's say Antigua. It's sexier.
Okay, sure.
It's sexier. Yeah. He's down in Antigua doing Gil things in Antigua.
He's driving all over the state of California, so I'm not really jealous.
Yeah, just doing, he's over in Antigua doing Antigua things. Putting a bow on that Timberwolves and Nuggets game from last night, Kelly. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who look at this and say, is this thing over? And with it being 2-0, and I got to say, so I thought that the Wolves were going to be able to give the Nuggets some trouble, considering they have three legit bigs, and we're going to be able to put three legit bigs rotating on Jokic, right? So the thing that I thought may be a factor in this series was when Cat is on him, he's able to do one of his skill sets, and then you move it over, and then when Naz Reid is on him, you're able to do another skill set, and then when Gobert is on him, so I thought that maybe they might be able to not let him settle in, right? Because sometimes you see Jokic where, okay, they're playing me this way, so tonight I'm the scorer, right?
Yeah.
Then, and it's like, oh, they're playing me this way, so tonight I'm the distributor. Mm-hmm. And then whatever. Well, now rotating the three different bigs, the three different types of defenses, the three different ways that those guys can play him, I thought that maybe that could confuse or at least neutralize him just a tad. You're never going to shut him completely down. I am shocked at how much they have been able to do that so far through the first couple of games. And I will say this, I don't think it's over, but I think it is going to be a big time task for them to come back from 0-2.
Yeah, I'm kind of beating myself up on this one. This is, it kind of applies to the Mavericks Thunder series we'll talk about here in a bit as well. But this was one where I liked the Timberwolves in the series. I had the price a little bit off though, and I thought it was a little too much the Timberwolves way, so I laid off it, didn't bet it. Man, they're steamrolling. I think you're gonna have to. I mean, the guys might be likely dealing with a suspension. The Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
I think you got to see a completely different Jamal Murray come back. If that occurs after that suspension comes, he comes back from that suspension, he's got to be a next level player like we've seen him before in the past, or else this team's done. Timberwolves are too good. They just for a team, if you have watched this team all season, like this is who they've been like through the regular season, and they're just getting better and better and better as it goes on. And playoffs are not seeming to faze them at all. And for all the people I see out there tweeting about Phoenix, and maybe they're not so bad. No, they're still bad. They're still bad. It was still a complete failure of the season.
I will not give you that much.
I'm not giving you that, though.
That is not going to happen. We did have hockey happen last night, Kelly. The Bruins.
Oh, Matt, real quick. I did bet game three on Minnesota side. That was just kind of assuming Jamal Murray is probably going to be out. I think I grabbed it 3.5, 4. It's out to 4.5, 5 now. I think if you can get in at 4, 4.5, there's fours out there. I think you can get in under 5. I still like it. Nuggets are on their heels right now, man. This is not looking good. Going back to Minnesota, Rudy Gobert is going to be back. Jamal Murray might be out. Everything I've seen so far, a much better team is in Minnesota. So, I laid it pretty quickly last night, kind of expecting suspension news coming down the line.
Over in the NHL, game one of the second round between the Bruins and the Panthers. Bruins get it done on the road 5-1. It was a scoreless first period, then a 3-1 Bruins advantage in the second period. They add on two more, one of the empty net variety in the third period, and take that one 5-1. Move on 1-0 in this series. Kelly, we spent a whole segment breaking down basketball because I know how to do that, and I can't sit here and tell you I can't break down the hockey game. All I can tell you, it was 5-1. I had it on. I watched it. They put it in the net more than the other ones did.
Yeah, the worst is I had it on a TV early. Yeah. And then I flipped it back on late, and then I was like, it's 5-1 already. What are you supposed to do when it's 5-1?
I mean, listen, I can break down basketball, football with you, baseball all day long. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you the intricacies of what went on that hockey on the rink last night in the ice. I can't do it.
I mean, pretty clearly the Bruins were the better team last night.
Yeah, there it is, 5-1.
They proved it, 5-1.
There we go. Yeah, so
Panthers, we got to rise up, all right? Sunrise, come on. Let's get it together for game two. I'm a Panthers fan as of right now, so let's go.
Yeah, and there we have it. A couple of news items we'll get to a little bit later, but don't want to skip over what we got going on here tonight, Kelly. We got the Cavs and the Celtics. That is Celtics 12-point favorites, 210 the total. If you think the Cavs win this thing outright, plus 470 on the money line. And then the Mavs Thunder, that is Thunder 3.5-point favorites, 218. If you think the Mavericks win the thing outright, plus 136. Starting with that first game, you could make a case, I guess, for, I mean, 12 points is a lot of points.
It's up to 12.5 here at Circa.
Yeah, I mean,
I am a little surprised. Who's coming in today and running to late 12?
Right. I just don't know. You know, I just don't know, man.
That's basically going to be the summary. This whole series throughout, I think. I bet the Celtics to win at 5. I mean, the thing, I think that if I want to ruffle feathers here, I could make an argument that the Cavaliers have the best player. It's just, you know, they're the next 5, 6 are on the Celtics side with no Jared Allen. I bet them to win at 5. I threw a little bit on that Celtics to win at 5. I think that knowing the Celtics and how they usually play and they take a lot of threes, could there be a bad variance game where they drop one to the Cavs here at some point? Yeah, I think that's completely possible. It's really hard for me to see
the Cavs just aren't a very good team.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to see them losing more than a game.
They're just not a very good team. I mean, it's one of those things where I could sit here and we could take the next 3 minutes doing the what if, play the what if game, and woo. It's like, no, man, the Celtics are going to win the series. They are. They're just going to win the series. Like, you have a Cavs team that is going to rely. You're going to need Spider Mitchell. You're going to have him go for 40, like, to even have a shot in any of these games.
If he goes for 50 every night, how many games do they win?
One.
I'll go two. If he went for 50 every night, I'll tell you they get two.
All right. So we at least have that. I mean, I guess the only thing we can say from a bettable standpoint, if you do look at the prop market, right, like Donovan Mitchell is set at 27.5 right now. Kelly, he might not get there because he is just off. It is not going to be for lack of trying. He is going to shoot every bit of 25 times in this game, if not more. And so 27.5 seems pretty low to me.
I am with you. Yeah. I didn't even really check that out because I didn't really think about it. Just kind of assumed it would be a lot higher.
Yeah. He's going to play, unless it is a just absolute blowout.
Right.
He's going to play 40 minutes in the game. So you're getting 40 minutes out of him with a guy that's going to put it up 25 times. I mean, he might just be completely off, and if he's off, then there's a way that he couldn't get here, but I think that he gets there.
I mean, you're going up against some of the best perimeter defenders in the league on the Celtics side, for sure.
Yeah.
But what you just said is all that matters. Like, the guy's going to put it up a bajillion times because
the volume is there.
Yeah, the volume is going to be there.
yeah. The volume is there.
So I'm betting that.
Yeah.
I'm betting that.
Mavs and Thunder, a much more interesting series in this one. As we said, Thunder, 3.5-point favorites, 218 the total, plus 136 if you think the Mavs win this thing outright. Kelly, I mean, if we look at this, no Maxi Kleber, and I think that people might not really understand what a pretty big loss that is for him, because he's a fairly versatile player for this Mavs team. I mean, you can play him at the four. You can, if you want to go smaller, you can play him at the five. He's a guy that kind of like adds a little bit of a wrinkle on the offensive side of everything too. And I mean, he's definitely done for the series. They're going to reevaluate him in a couple of weeks. I mean, he's probably done for the whole playoffs with all this for the Mavs team. And I'm not saying that means the Mavericks can't win this series. I'm saying that it's a bigger loss for them than I think people are giving credit for.
This series, for sure. I think they played him too much last series. I was kind of in that camp of, okay, you've got these couple other bigs with Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford that you kind of brought in for a reason. Yeah. Kleba's been around forever. I think he's great, like you just broke down, great in specific matchups. Little smaller ball you're going to see in this series, I think he would have been nice to have. And, you know, just kind of...
Because you could run him out at the five.
Right, exactly.
And be able to match up with what the Thunder are going to do when they try to go small. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. This is... I bet the over tonight. I bet on the over, 216.5. Totals, I'll bet a little bit more in the playoffs. I'm not a huge totals bet. Better. And man, it's mainly unders in the playoffs for me, but I thought there was a little value on the over here. You're talking about two top seven teams in pace during the regular season. Now, Luka Doncic dealing with his knee injury has definitely been playing slower. They're going to want to slow it down in the half court a little bit more. I think the Thunder, though, will be looking actively to get out and run, attack the paint like they do in every single game that they play. Expecting a high up-tempo game from the Thunder, kind of forcing the Mavericks hand in that. This is just talking about the series price real quick, man. I don't know if you did anything with this. I've got Mavericks futures that I'm just kind of going to be riding and hoping and praying here for. Look, they're a great team. They're a great team right now. Have looked awesome since the All-Star break. To me, at this price, there's some value on the Thunder side. If I wasn't involved at all, I'd probably be looking there. I'd probably be looking Thunder a little bit game to game here, especially to start with Lucas. Lucas still having knee issues.
That's the thing. If Luca was 100% healthy, I don't think it'd be a thing for me. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like the Nuggets Timberwolves price was just a little bit off to me. So if I was going to go anywhere, I wasn't involved, it would be the Thunder.
Let's talk all things sports with our friend of the program, Drew Densick, when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's A Numbers Game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Our next guy, you know him, you love him, you find him over at NBC Sports Edge, Deep Dive Podcast on Twitter Machine, Whale_Capper. He is Drew Densick. Drew, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good morning, and great to see you again, Matt. It's been too long.
I know.
All my plans to come out to Vegas have busted recently, so I haven't gotten to come see you, but yeah.
Drew, listen, I had a prior engagement and wasn't able to get on to the NFL Draft Megapod this year, which was good for the listeners because I got absolutely destroyed. So I'm glad I didn't make it this year. So that was pretty good. We normally catch each other at least that time of year anyway.
Yeah, you and I are in good company. I did not do well in the draft either. Yes, of course, the common theme really the 2024 so far, like I'm just, you know, cruising along, grinding NBA, everything's going well, cruising along, grinding tennis, everything's going well. And then like the big events, like the Super Bowl, I thought the Niners were going to win. They did not. March Madness, I was against the Huskies. And of course they not only won, but covered every single game. yes, Masters, it was a bloodbath. The draft was a bloodbath, and it couldn't find a winner in the Kentucky Derby. So the big kind of marquee betting events that, you know, people tend to remember, I'm running pretty cold.
Yeah, I saved the listener some money by not making the draft podcast this year. That's for sure. But real quick on the Derby though, we were talking a little bit before we came on air, the experience itself though, let's talk outside of the betting thing. You know, I do a show with Mike Somich, and I kind of grilled him on this whenever we came in on Sunday, and actually gave him more of a position to kind of defend the process that goes into horse handicapping. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the biggest race that gets the most attention. That being said, it's also the one with the highest amount of variance, the much, much harder to predict than any other horse race you're going to be handicapping on a day-to-day basis. And so it's pretty easy, I think, for people who aren't in it very often to come in on Sunday morning, start pointing fingers and going like, see, no one knows anything. Y'all are all stupid. And this is the stupidest thing ever, but it's 20 horses. It's the gigantic race. Any little thing can change the way it goes. And honestly, the Kentucky Derby, anyone that does a lot of the horse, anyway, I would tell you, that's not really where you make money. You make money on all the other races all year long.
Yeah. That's no question, but you know, we're like moths to a flame. Matt, it's the toughest puzzle to solve. It's the toughest challenge. The white whale of a lot of people who play horse racing is hitting the superfecta in the Derby, because you think it's hard to pick the winner. Try picking the top four. but the race is so dependent on, you know, the early pace in particular, and whether that sets up opportunities for closers or whether the lead is going to be able to be maintained. Guessing what that pace is going to be just depends on evaluating the early speed horses, where they're drawn, whether they'll break well. And all of these are huge, just wild question marks. And so, ultimately it was not something that I saw coming, that, Kenny McPeak and his jockey, Brian Hernandez, they did the Dell Oaks Derby double, and they did it the same way in both races, which was get on the rail and ride that golden rail. Cause the second, third, and fourth, slots effectively on the track coming down the home stretch in particular, but, also kind of around the back, they were softer and the inside was tighter, and the inside was just, it was a better footing, because of some of the conditions, the rain we had on Friday in particular. And, Brian Hernandez is a guy that likes to ride the rail at Churchill Downs. That's his, that's his MO. And, he did it with, absolute perfection two times in the two most important horse races of the spring. So, congratulations to him. Congratulations to McPeak and all the connections. Mystic Dan is, he's a very lucky horse, man. Two just absolute golden rail wins in his 3-year-old campaign so far. I would say that if you see him, kind of at short price, I'm not buying it. I mean, he's good horse, but he's not that good. So, and in fact, if it was a mile and a quarter and an inch, I think he probably loses to Sierra Leone. So, it is what it is, but, the Kentucky Derby experience remains probably one of the highlights, if not the highlight of my sports year, just because being there to be part of the coverage and, get the access to, everything that's going on at Churchill Downs and, meeting people and, shaking hands is a really, really good time. So, all told, I really hope to get invited back to cover next year.
Talking to our buddy Drew Densa, you can find him over on NBC Edge as well as his podcast Deep Dive. Drew, I want to look forward before we look back, before we talk about last night. We've done a bunch of recapping here, so I do want to see if you have any thoughts here on Cavs, Celtics, Mavs, Thunder. So let's start with that first one. Cavs, Celtics sitting at 12 right now in favor of the Celtics, yeah. 210 the total. Kelly and I were sitting here saying, I guess we could try to talk ourselves in circles as a way that the Cavs win this series. I'm not going to do that. I think there's going to be I don't see it. I don't know how it goes. We were saying, even if Donovan Mitchell goes for 50 a game, how many games do you actually give the Cavs here? So what do you look at this series, and what do you think about the 12 tonight?
Yeah, so I laid 11 on the open with the Celtics, and I took some Celtics 4-0 at plus 150.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Cavs, you can talk yourself into circles that the Cavs win a game in this series. It's kind of like an absolute death matchup for them in every way. when you are, and this kind of goes for, this is a perfect analog to what you've already seen, by the way, with a better team in the Timberwolves Nuggets series. Like when you're depending on, guard play and you are up against a team that has elite wings, and the guards are such an enormous part of your offense, then that puts you under enormous stress. And the Cavaliers are even a more distilled version of that than the Nuggets, where they're effectively a one-man show. I mean, it's Donovan Mitchell and to a lesser, much lesser degree, Darius Garland kind of with the ball in their hands who are making things happen. Caris LeVert, you know, from the second unit taking on that role. The bigs offer very little in terms of offensive, production, and there's no creation whatsoever. So now you're up against a Celtics team whose defense I think is going to be absolutely smothering. No idea how Donovan Mitchell is going to find any space against this lineup. I think the absence of Porzingis against a better team would matter, but Horford is kind of the ideal, mobile spacing big to have on the floor with the rest of these guys. So swapping Horford for Porzingis is maybe even a small upgrade for this particular matchup. And I think the Celtics they need to start to kind of ramp things up a little bit. I don't think they can afford to come into the Eastern Conference Finals flat against potentially a feisty Knicks team. So, I think they're going to take these games pretty seriously. And I think it's a fun play to look for a Celtics to come through with the sweep.
Well, let's talk about one that might be a little bit more interesting in the Mavs and the Thunder. 3.5 currently over at DraftKings in favor of the Thunder. 218 your total if you think the Mavs went outright, plus 136. Series price a little bit swayed out of a coin flip. It was coin flippy there for a while. I think it's 120 and even money now on this. This one I'm pretty excited about to see how it all plays out. What say you?
Yeah, so I'm holding a decent amount of Thunder to win the West at 5-1. I'm holding a decent amount of Thunder to win this series at minus 115. I think my last time I looked, and let me just double check. Yeah, my fares for the series are minus 132 for the Thunder. And I don't, this is not to disrespect the Mavericks really, but what you saw in that Clippers series I thought was pretty telling, where it took them four games to really kind of solve sort of how they wanted to really, I guess maybe till the third game, till their offense really kind of started clicking to the degree it should have. And some of people could say, well, yeah, Luka was hurt and he's getting healthier. Okay, fine. Well, I would point to, it was a tough matchup with the switchability and the way that the wings were playing defensively for the Clippers team. And just in general, the Clippers being well coached. Well, now you come up against an even better version of that in OKC. And I think you absolutely need to kind of sincerely think about how you upgrade OKC's defense from the regular season to the postseason based on what you saw in that Pelicans series. They made life absolutely miserable from the guards. And again, you have a situation here where 90% of the offensive creation is coming from two players who are guards here. And while Luka is a bigger guard, and certainly you can't just out-physical him, the length and, the ability to kind of send multiple waves of people, including Lu Dort, who, is one of the bigger, just like, I will be a absolute pest and make your life miserable kind of defender, is going to be exciting to see how Luka handles that. And I think it's going to take him a couple of games to solve it. So Thunder defending home court in game one and game two is my expectation. I think I bet them to take a lead into game three as well. I think that one was minus 125 that I bet, and it's out to minus 143, and I think that's a strong play as well. So I think the Thunder can take the first two here while the Mavs figure out exactly how they want to run their offense against this very, very dynamic and flexible defense. And I don't know that it's going to be a short series in favor of the Thunder, but I'm not going to be surprised if it is.
10 seconds, Drew. Are the Nuggets done?
I think yes. The guard health situation is an absolute disaster for them, particularly in this matchup. So don't know exactly how they solve that.
Our friend and yours, Drew Denzik, find him over at NBC Sports Edge, also on his podcast, Deep Dive Podcast, or the Twitter machine at @whale_capper. Drew, appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck tonight.
All right, best of luck, man.
Woo, boy. Yeah, he said they're done. We kind of think they're done, Kelly. Think that they might be done.
Yeah, I think they are.
The champs might be done.
It's tough. I wanted a great series, though.
NFL Week 1 starters are available over at DraftKings. We'll talk those when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, if you don't already have a DraftKings Sportsbook account, do we have a deal for you? Go in, bet $5 after making that deposit, and we're going to give you $150 instantly in bonus bets. But what you got to do is use the promo code VSIN, VSIN, when you go in and sign up for that account. So again, go in, get you a DraftKings Sportsbook account, bet at least $5, and when you do, we're going to give you 150 instantly bonus bets. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Kelly Bidlin to my right, Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander as we run through a packed first three segments here, Kelly. I mean, just packed, running out of time. We need about an extra 45 seconds every segment.
That's seems right, like. Man. This time of year, I could talk. Hey, if you watch Live Bet Sunday, I could talk the NBA for hours, and that's pretty much what we did.
That, in fact, is what I did. I just did that yesterday. I love this time of year, I should say.
I wish I got more sleep, but I love this time of year, man. It is great.
We skipped over just a couple of news items from the top, and we'll get to the since we're talking football, I'll get to this one. We'll circle back around to the basketball news nugget, but Joe Burrow at voluntary workouts throwing passes. Kelly had wrist surgery in November, so he is back out there throwing passes. Cincinnati 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. They are plus 165 to win the AFC North, and Burrow, despite the fact coming off of a major injury to his wrist, is 9-1 to win the MVP. I mean, AFC North, I'd do that. Maybe I'd take him there or whatever. Boy, Burrow 9-1 coming back off a major injury with a pissed off T. Higgins. I don't know. That seems a little short for me. And you know how much I love Joe Burrow.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, based off of your reaction, I just think that the market's finally on track with Joe Burrow and how we feel about Joe Burrow, and specifically you. It's kind of funny we bring them up, though, because that is the one... I think that's the one team future bet I've made so far was them to win the AFC North. I made that basically as soon as that was released. Maybe we even talked about it.
Yeah, to me, you know, look, 9-1. I love Joe Burrow as much as anybody else out there, but it's got to be double digits, man. It's got to be 12, 13, 14, something like that on him. I mean, there's still, again, major question marks around what T. Higgins is going to do. I mean, he says he's going to show up and play, but who knows? I mean, his agent might get in his ear, bad advice, whatever it might be. I don't know. I think that's a little bit short, but good news for football fans just in general, and then also just for Cincinnati Bengals fans. It's Joe Burrow is back out there after that wrist surgery that he had in November.
It does feel short, though, just because of, I mean, like, look at this list right now.
He's third on the board.
It feels like a lot of dudes could win the MVP this year. Yeah. Like more guys than in years past.
You know what? Maybe this is a discussion we should have tomorrow or the next.
I agree.
How about that? I'm here Wednesday and Thursday, so maybe we'll throw that up there and we'll give our full opinions. But one of the markets that is available over at DraftKings is who will be starting quarterback week one for Team X, and this is who is going to be under center to take the first snap of the season. That is what this bet is for. So let's go to one that's a little less sexy, and then we can get to the ones that are sexy. Less sexy. Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders. Gardner Minshew minus 400 to take the first snap for the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell plus 270. You went and signed Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is nothing special, Kelly, but he's better than Aiden O'Connell. You didn't get what you wanted. If you read the report, they were trying to get up in the draft. Didn't work out. You didn't get what you wanted in the draft. It's going to be Gardner Minshew. I know us laying 400 whenever there is the chance of training camp injuries, the chance of preseason injuries and all that, but if you had a big old fat bankroll and could figure out whether they would give you the limit to make it worth it or not, because I don't know exactly what they're taking on these type of bets, but this one is a near lock barring injury, because they did not go sign Gardner Minshew to just start Aiden O'Connell. They'd have just left it alone. They'd have went and signed two other bums off the street and then let Aiden O'Connell start. I mean, Gardner Minshew starting.
Yeah, this is, what are we in now? Year three or year four of DraftKings posting these? They're great. They're great markets. I think they're always great, great conversation pieces for us in the past. I don't remember liking as many from a betting standpoint as I do this on this graphic and what we're seeing this year. You hit the one right away. It's a gamble, right? This is a gamble because of everything that Matt just brought up. Injuries can happen. Now, I can make the argument for sure that Aiden O'Connell, I mean, he's going to play more in the preseason, right? So there's even a better chance of him getting injured. Yeah. You don't really, I mean, we hate playing that game, but if you're betting something like this, you got to be thinking that way. But yet, like, they brought Gardner Minshew in. Like, they said no thanks to Aiden O'Connell, basically. Brought in Gardner Minshew. He's not Joe Montana. I don't think he's going to be great. I think the Raiders will be looking to move on from him sooner rather than later, but he's starting week one this season. As long as he's healthy, he's starting week one.
Yes, there's. He got a 2-year, $25 million deal. They would not have paid. They would not have paid him if they were just going to start Aiden O'Connell. It wasn't going
to
happen.
I mean, the other one that jumps out to me. It's the same situation. A little bit opposite situation. Right? It's the Seattle situation. Geno Smith, Sam Howell. I still like Geno Smith in this way. Are we like you think Sam Howell starting for the Seahawks week one? Like, that felt like a backup move. That felt like a bringing a backup now that we need a backup more so than someone to truly compete with Geno Smith.
See, like, now I think we're going different directions.
Ooh, okay.
I think there is a non-zero. So here's what you, if you're Seattle, right? One, you know Geno Smith is not your quarterback of the future. You know that already. We have seen now the true Geno Smith again come out again. His floor, he did raise his floor a little bit. But the problem is his floor is also his ceiling. He has no ceiling whatsoever. Right, yeah. So, like, they know exactly what they have in Geno Smith. He has raised the level of his floor. He is no longer a bum in the league, but he has absolutely no ceiling. Do we know for sure that Sam Howell is trash? Because if you look at the situation he was in, it was not great. I mean, the coaching situation, the ownership, everything about where Sam Howell was at was pretty terrible. Now, if he were to step in, you have three legitimate wide receivers to throw to, along with the tight end. And I don't know. I still think it's Geno Smith, but if he goes out there and just absolutely wipes the floor with Geno, if Sam Howell wipes the floor with Geno Smith in training camp, it would not shock me. I would not be shocked.
I see that more as a week five, week six, like, okay, we're off to a slow start.
Certainly
Geno, like, we're good. Let's see what we got now with Howell here for the rest of the year.
Broncos, Bo Nix, -300. Jared Stidham, +330. Zach Wilson, 9-1. It's not going to be Zach Wilson, so it's either Stidham or Nix. I think Nix starts day one. I know there's some people out there that think not. I think Nix starts day one. I think that you have a coach that went out and got his dude that he wanted, and he's going to prove a point that I got the guy that I wanted, and he's going to go play. I think this whole deal of taking Bo Nix, which some people thought of as a reach, and then if you sit him, Kelly, then it's kind of like, what are you doing? Why did you do this?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't know that I'm -300 confident, though. Like, you know, it is. You do have Stidham there just in case. I mean, things go slow with Nix and training camp or something like that. But I'm with you. I think it would be pretty. It would be pretty surprising if Bo wasn't starting week one.
Yeah, I like him to start week one. I think there's some other interesting rookie markets for him as well. Maybe we'll talk about those a little bit later in the week as well. This is the interesting one. And I was actually shocked at these odds. Vikings, Sam Darnold -160 to start week one. J.J. McCarthy +120. I like the dog here in this one in J.J. McCarthy. You take a look at the situation that he is stepping into. You could argue, even over Caleb Williams, that he is stepping into a better situation in which you are getting not only the best receiver in the game. Addison came on very, very well when he had to step up and be wide receiver one when Jefferson was hurt. You have Hockenson there from a tight end position. You play indoors in a dome, which is yet another good thing, you know, whenever you're talking about not having to play outdoors in, I understand he played at Michigan, but you would still rather have optimal conditions than having a guy playing outdoors in cold and freezing temperatures and things like that. I think McCarthy is in such a good situation that you drafted him as your quarterback of the future. What good is it? Like you're talking about, what good is it if you're the Vikings to do that whole, he comes in week four, week five. Why?
Right.
Why? What if playing Darnold for 3 or 4 weeks, what if that loses you 3 or 4 games and now you're out of the playoffs already? I mean, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. If you're going to do that, lose with J.J. McCarthy.
So, the team argument, right, would be, okay, we think we have a veteran quarterback that we want to see what they have. Can they give us a chance to make a playoff run, right? And I'm talking kind of both Minnesota and Seattle here. I think that's the argument, but I think Sam Darnold is a different situation from Geno Smith, just because Geno has led these guys to a couple winning seasons over the past couple
the
years.
The scary part about this one is
Sam Darnold's brand new there.
Well, here's the scary part about this is, what if you start Sam Darnold and he's good?
Right. Yeah. No,
Now you got to sit.
Then
your
you got a problem.
Yeah. And then you got to sit your guy the whole year. Like, you know, like, what if he starts off 5-0, 6-0 or something like that? I'm not saying that's likely, but what if he does? And now you got to sit JJ McCarthy the whole season.
I think that's the best argument. Right,
you know,
now. Yeah.
Like, what if he's good? We don't know. Maybe he is good. We'll see. We'll figure that out. We're going to talk some soccer here with Paul Carr when we come back.